It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. Love of God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us. Today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words, "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." Responded. And now, over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes, it is, yes, it is. And it's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming.
Here's your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Thursday, everybody. Good to have you listening on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. However you may be listening today, maybe on your computer or your smartphone or going down the road in your car. Wherever you may be, we're going to pray today. And I'm so delighted to have you praying with me here on BPN Radio as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening at this time or any time around the clock, around the globe. My guest tomorrow will be my spiritual granddaughter and recording artist, Ray Lynn. She'll tell her story, sing her hit song, God Made Girls. But today's a very important day as we intercede. A day of intercession, and we're going to intercede for the needs as the Holy Spirit directs me. This is not just a pre-planned broadcast. Even when we have our different guests on, I pray about who to invite to the broadcast. I want to have them on not just any time, but at a particular time. I want this these daily prayer broadcasts to have a rhythm about them. And, of course, we mix music and prayer together. And I'm so thankful for all of you that are daily listeners who support this broadcast with your prayer and finances. And today I just felt led of the Holy Spirit to have a day of intercession. And so I want you to stay tuned, and we're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to pray in tongues. We'll pray in English, but it's going to be a day of intercession. So, Father, I just pray that you would anoint this prayer broadcast today here on BPN Radio as we pray together, knowing we are a force in the earth. So, Holy Spirit, as we do prophetic praying today, I just pray that you would guide and direct each of us, and may we be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I would like to say before we start our broadcast, that this weekend I'm going to be in New Orleans on the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And that is as they commemorate the 10th anniversary of that hurricane. That was the worst in the history of America, dating all the way back to the one in Okeechobee way back when. And so on August the 29th, Katrina surged across New Orleans, and the devastation was incredible. And many people thought it could never happen. Many people thought it would never be, but yet it did happen. So we're going to be praying. And I would like to remind you that my wife Jean and I, will be ministering this Saturday night at Cross Church in Houma, Louisiana. That's a suburb of New Orleans. And the pastors are Brandon and Rochelle Bilbo. And the website, you can go to the website, and that's crosschurchhouma.com, crosschurchhouma.com. On Sunday morning, we're going to be ministering there at the Miracle Center in Gonzales, Louisiana, where Pastor Garland Beverly Bilbo lead that ministry. And you just can go to bilboministries.com. BilboMinistries.com. And then the next service on Sunday will be in Metairie, Louisiana, which is another suburb of New Orleans. And that's also led by Garland and Beverly Bilbo. And all you have to do is go to PraiseChurchNola.com. PraiseChurchNola, N-O-L-A, Nola.com. And so we'll be there Saturday night, Sunday morning for three services there. And I believe we're just there at a very strategic time, as we remember what happened there on the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and know that things can happen even when there is warnings that people many times will not respond. And so today we're going to intercede on behalf of America, cities in this nation, and the work of the prophet is to declare what he sees. And so sometimes the prophet is perceived as negative, fearful. There can be different adjectives there that would describe the prophet. But the prophet is to stand on the wall. What he sees coming, he is to proclaim. If he does not, if he doesn't do that, the Bible says that there will be blood upon his hands. If he does do that, there will be persecution, ridicule. And though there will be those that will disregard, but the prophet, the true prophet, must declare what he sees coming. I'm gonna share some of those things today, and we're gonna pray. We're gonna intercede on behalf of our nation. You know, the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ is very, very important. We know that the pastor, he's the one that shepherds the congregation. He gives oversight to the local church. He guards the people. He watches for the people. And he prays for them and intercedes for them. And when they go through dark times, he is there with them to watch over them and pray for them and give words of encouragement. And then we have the teacher. Sometimes it's the pastor teacher, but we have the teacher who can go down line by line, do research. And he's very, very important to the prophet, because he takes whatever the prophet sees is seeing whatever revelation the prophet has, and he breaks it down so that it is edible to the people that hear. And we know that the teacher is a research person and one that can go line by line teaching the word. And then we have the evangelist. And the event, we all need to be soul winners, but the evangelist is most exemplified by men like Billy Graham and Franklin Graham, who go out and preach crusades and call for the lost. We know that evangelist goes to churches and trains people to be soul winners. And so the evangelist spreads the word, preaches the word, and weeps over the lost, has a passion for the lost, even though many, many other people can do the work of an evangelist. And then we have the apostle, and the apostle is one that gives oversight to a group of churches, a group of pastors, or maybe a movement or a denomination, or maybe an area or a region of pastors or churches, one that gives oversight. Overseer, and that is the apostle. The apostle confirms what the prophet says, and he bears witness to the words of the prophet. And if the prophet is in error, the true apostles, they proclaim that they do not bear witness to what the prophets are saying. It's very important that the apostles and prophets work together so that the apostles can confirm the words of the prophet. And the prophet is to declare what he sees, what he is hearing, and make a proclamation. And so today, serving in the office of the prophet of the body of Christ, serving as a prophetic prayer leader, I'm going to ask you to join me in intercession for some of the things that we see coming. And things that we need to pray about concerning this nation, this land. So it's a very important day. And one of the young men that I've been working with since 1998 is Godfrey Bertel. And he wrote a song and sang a song called "Lord, Turn Your Footsteps Toward These Ruins." We are in a desperate situation in America. Now, do I believe that revival is coming to cities across America? And my response is yes, an affirmative. I do believe. Do I believe that we're going to have revival before we have many cities that are ruined, before tragedy comes to our nation, to the borders of our land? No, I can't guarantee that. In fact, the greatest revival or spiritual awakening may come as a result of tremendous storms that will surge across this land. And you must understand that we in America must understand our times and discern our times, particularly us Christians, we that name the name of Jesus. We must understand the times that we are living in with the Iranian military saying that they're going to destroy Israel. They're carrying death to America. We're trying to get in bed with the enemy. When we've had a genocide of 55 million babies, and we have a group that is selling baby body parts, and there's very little outcry. Very little outcry. And when we have the divorce rate that is higher than ever, when we have more unmarried adults than we have married, when the new norm is that most babies that are born this year will be born to unwed mothers, when we have 38 million men in America that have subscribed to website, Ashley Madison website, 38 million American men, and when we have ISIS that is poised to bring destruction upon city after city in America when the name of Jesus has been removed from the marketplace and removed from most of our public school systems, when prayer is no longer allowed in our schools and the name of Jesus is no longer allowed at our public events. We have a perfect storm brewing in America, and I could go on and on and on, when our nation is no longer aligned with Israel as it should be, as it has been, and as it needs to be in order to have the blessings of God upon our nation. And when we have a man that is running for a president who claims that he is going to save America, not God, but him. And when so many people are following after what he is saying, and I could go on and on and on. We are in jeopardy. Is everything going to hell in a handbasket? And my response is no. But you must understand that God is doing a work in many lives, and we are hearing about different revival events that is very promising. We know that people are praying. We know there's prayer groups being raised up across America. Even here at BPN, Breakout Prayer Network, we have 1,080 churches that have committed themselves, at least one or more of those churches, to pray with us. There are some real positive signs. There are some incredible things happening. There's a group of congressmen and senators that are meeting every Monday night when Congress is in session. There are some incredible things happening. We have some godly individuals that are running for president this year. But I'm telling you, we have enough that is going on with over 4,000 churches being closed this year that we must pray, and that's what we're going to do. Here's Godfrey Birtle. He's going to sing, and then I'm going to be back, and we're going to do some intercession. Here's Godfrey Birtle to sing, "Lord, turn your footsteps toward these ruins." We need you here, and we need you now. And we are poised to intercede today in the name of Jesus. Okay, there you have Godfrey Birtle. Work your deliverance in this place, Lord. We just call for deliverance. We call for revival in our nation, in our cities, in our land. And on this Thursday, we intercede on behalf of our country, our nation, our land. As we enter these fall months, these are very strategic days, strategic times. And as a prayer leader since 1967, I'm calling for 1,000 prayer leaders in America to help me pray. I'm calling for 1 million people in America to help me pray for another spiritual awakening in this land. And, I just believe that the prophet is to give the warning of what's happening. The Shemitah is coming soon, and there's a lot of people that is ridiculing Jonathan Gahn and his prophecy that, America could be in jeopardy in September, although he's not prophesying it will happen on any certain date. But we know that our economy is having a downturn. There are warnings everywhere. And, the Bible certainly is gives us prophetic words, little portions here and there of what is coming to a city or to a nation. And we know that even though it may not say the United States of America, because America was not known at that time, and yet there are words that we can translate that are warnings to this nation. And we know that Jonathan Cahn wrote the book The Harbingers and The Harbinger. And, he got the prophetic word there from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 that referred to 9/11. And so all throughout the Word, particularly the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied about what they saw was coming, and it may have had a different name on it or may not have had a name, but it certainly was descriptive of what was happening and what could happen in those days. And so, the Bible says is a reminder of what could happen in our nation from Lamentations chapter 1, even though it talks about Jerusalem, it could be talking about our city. And because he said how lonely sits the city that was full of people, how like a widow is she who was great among the nations, the princess among the provinces has become a slave. She weeps bitterly in the night, her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers. She has none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They become her enemies. Judah has gone into captivity under affliction, hard servitude. She dwells among the nations. She finds no rest. All her persecutors overlook her, overtake her, in dire straits. The roads to Zion mourn because no one comes to the set feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. And she is in bitterness. Her adversaries have become the master. Her enemies prosper. The Lord has afflicted her because of the multitude of her transgressions. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion, all her splendors departed. Her princes have become like deer. They find no pleasure. They flee without strength. In the days of her affliction and roaming, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. And it goes on and on about what possibly could happen to America if we do not turn back to God as a nation. And, you know, we have had our leaders to proclaim we're no longer a Christian nation. And so we pray, we intercede for our nation today, Lord. In Jesus' name, would you help me pray now? We intercede on behalf of our land. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Father God, that you turn your footsteps back toward America, back to our city. I pray on behalf of my city of Austin, Texas, the capital of Austin. And why don't you pray on behalf of your city? In Jesus' name, why don't you repent on behalf of your city? Why don't you ask God to minister to your city, for revival to come to your city, to my city? And the love of Jesus would be shed abroad in the hearts of so many people, and people would come to know the Lord. Would you just pray? Would you intercede right now on behalf of your city? Would you do that on behalf of your nation? We pray in Jesus' name for another spiritual awakening in America and cities all across this land. Pastors will begin to pray together and work together for the harvest of their city. And they would begin to recognize who sits at the door, who sits at the gates of authority in their city, who is seated there, who is making and passing the governmental laws there. Who are the judges there in their city, in their county, in their parish? In Jesus' name, and may we recognize that the enemy that is lurking at the door of our cities, waiting to bring destruction, in Jesus' name. So we pray on behalf of the cities of our nation right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, that we will not, our cities will not come to desolation. Our cities will not come to ruin. That we will be safe cities that people will come to and flee to in the hour of need, in the hour of despair. And Lord, when ISIS begins to make themselves known in certain cities across America, they will come into cities who are not being guarded by prayer and by godly men and women who sit in seats of authority. And so we pray right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that that Christians will run for political office. They will declare that they're going to be a part of the process. in the schools, in government, city council, the mayoral races. They're going to be a voice of prayer. They're gonna lead people in prayer. They may be a prayer leader in their neighborhood. They may develop a neighborhood prayer watch, whatever it may be. But they are not going to sit idly by. On their jobs or in their company, they might have a daily prayer. They may lead prayer, but they will not sit idly by. And so we pray for these cities all across America in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for the city of New Orleans. As Gina and I go there this weekend to minister on the 10th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, we pray, Father God, for that city in Jesus' name, that they will remember the tragedy. They'll remember that no one really believed that it could actually happen. It's exactly what's taking place in America right now. No one believes that our economy could fall, that in a day's time that our grocery stores could be emptied out. No one believes that our electricity could be turned off. No one can believe that our banks would be closed and not open for several days for business. No one believes that tragedy could occur, and they scoff at it. They scoff at it. Well, they declare we're a Christian nation, but leaders have declared we're no longer a Christian nation. And so that's what happened to New Orleans. The majority of the city believed that it could never ever happen to them. And then on August the 29th, Katrina's storm surged and it caused 53 different levee breaches in greater New Orleans, submerging 80% of that city. Engineers indicated that 2/3 of the flooding were caused by the multiple failures of the flood walls. The storm surge also devastated the coast of Mississippi and Alabama. Katrina became an incredible disaster, one of the most destructive natural disasters in the history of the United States, and the deadliest since the one in Okeechobee, the Okeechobee hurricane in 1928. And the total damage from Katrina is estimated to be at $108 billion. The death toll from Katrina is still uncertain, with reports differing by hundreds. According to the National Hurricane Center, there were 1,836 fatalities that could be attributed to the storm. 135 people remain categorized as missing from that storm. And the storm was directly responsible for 1,170 fatalities in Louisiana. Federal disaster declarations covered 90,000 square miles, and we know that there were 230,000 square miles. And Homeland Security described the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina as probably the worst catastrophe or set of catastrophes in the country's history. So it was a difficult time. The church that we're going to minister at in Metairie, suburb of New Orleans, this Sunday, they had their church destroyed. There was 9 feet of water in their church. It was completely destroyed, the entire neighborhood. And Gene and I went there after the hurricane and looked at the devastation. Most people thought it could never happen, and yet there were warnings. And I'm certainly not declaring that this was a judgment from God, because I don't know. But I do remember visiting New Orleans in the 80s when I was on radio in Oklahoma City, broadcasting from New Orleans, saying these words. Dr. Billy Graham said, if God does not judge New Orleans, He's going to have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah and repent. So I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer that question, but I know that New Orleans went through a major devastation that most people thought could not happen. And in America, in cities all across America, there are warnings. There are warnings concerning the signs of the time that we live in. And there are some people that saying, no, it could never happen. My 401k could never be lost overnight. No, the banks could not close. No, everything that we've trusted in could not happen. But I believe there is a warning to this nation, a nation that, by and large, I'm not talking about everyone, but by and large has forgotten God, that's turned away from God. And there are so many pastors and shepherds and church leaders that are not saying anything about the coming storm to America, a nation whose walls have been broken down and gates have been burned with fire. They're remaining silent. They're continuing to preach their motivational sermons. And if anybody speaks otherwise, they're deemed and labeled as negative and a person that is not giving hope. There is hope, but our hope is not in our government, ladies and gentlemen. Our hope is not in this economy. Our hope is not in our leaders. Our hope is not in the 2016 presidential election. It is not. Our hope is in Him, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah God, Father Jehovah, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Rohi, Jehovah Nisi. He is our hope. Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, who had a son named Jesus, who came and lived and died and rose again on the third day. And by His stripes we are healed, and by His blood we are saved. In Jesus' name. And if you don't know the Lord today, why don't you just ask Him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, accept Him as your Savior and Lord. He will do that today. Father, I just intercede on behalf of this land. I intercede. Would you help me pray right now? You intercessors, would you help me pray? And I'm just going to pray in the Spirit, because there are times I don't know exactly how to pray. And there's so many things happening in our nation. There's so many things taking place in our land that I don't really know exactly where to begin, except that when we have a nation that is selling body parts, when we have entities that are selling body parts, and a nation that is not, where there is not a major outcry, and even groups of people in America that are still defending this entity or these entities, then you know that we are in desperate trouble in America. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Kibroshe Kibrite Metu, Masana Mandola Brita, we ask for your help, Lord. We pray for our cities. We pray for our nation, a nation whose walls have been broken down and gates have been burned with fire. And Lord, I know that there are many people, including Christians today, that would say, you just don't need to talk like this. You don't need to pray like this. You need to give people hope. Well, I am a messenger of hope. I've been ministering hope for 49 years in this nation. But I'm also giving a warning of the condition of our nation, that we must turn back to Jehovah God. And there needs to be a national repentance and a national cleansing. And the prophet Jonah came to Nineveh. He said, in 3 days, it's all going to be over. And the mayor of the city, he called for a 3-day fast, repentance and a turning back to God. And when cities begin to repent, they fast and pray, they turn back to God, there's a cleansing, there's going to be a response from heaven. And so I just pray right now on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our city, Sikobrote. Help me pray. Help me pray, Christians. Help me pray, church. Help me pray, intercessors. Ne brindi sikata. Lord, we call for your mercy, mercy, mercy. We cry out for your mercies, O God. Te brite me sharabaku trebisarabakute. Mandrebriatrebisutrebaku. Mandrebiki trebishikrebikite. Tebishakabakute. May we be a nation that turns back to you and begins to pray. Lord, our nation was founded upon the principles of your word. We've gone far away from that. This nation was founded upon prayer. When President George Washington began to call Congress to pray, Te brusut terebriite shikatarabruute, Ebron derebakute, governors calling their states to pray, mayors calling their cities to pray, pastors beginning to call their congregations to pray, neighborhood leaders beginning to call their neighborhoods to pray. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Lord, you said you would hear from heaven. Forgive our sin and heal our land. We repent on behalf of this nation. We repent on behalf of this land. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we call for a spiritual awakening in New Orleans and the area around about New Orleans. We pray in Jesus' name that New Orleans will lead the way. Will lead the way. We call in the name of Jesus as the citizens of New Orleans and the surrounding areas. Remember Hurricane Katrina this weekend, the 10th anniversary, that pastors will call the people to repentance, to pray and to seek the face of God. So we join right now. We join other Christians on behalf of the city of New Orleans, and we intercede for that city in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we need revival. We need a fresh anointing. We need revival now. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we need you now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just a few moments, I'm going to be back to pray. I'm going to pray for the men of this nation. So stay tuned. Here's Ron Bailey. We press in to take hold of you. We need revival now. We need revival now.
We press in to get close to then by faith we take hold of your promises. Doubt and fear will all disappear, for your glory is here as we press in. We press in to get close. Then by faith we take hold of your promises. Doubt and fear will all disappear, for your glory is here as we press in. No more. then by faith we take hold of your promises. Doubt and fear will all disappear, for your glory is here as we press near. Then by faith we take hold of your promises. Doubt and fear will all disappear, for your glory is here as we press in. For your glory is here as we press in. For your glory is here as we press in.
Father, we need you today. We press in to get close to you, asking for your help here in our cities, in our nation, as we pray together. Here on BPN Radio, this 24-hour internet prayer station around the clock, around the globe. And I'm so thankful and privileged to have the opportunity to lead prayer here 24 hours a day. That's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about a year ago. Said, I want you to lead prayer, internet prayer, 24 hours a day. And in the natural, that was an impossibility. But all things are possible, and in the supernatural, all things are possible, and nothing is impossible. So a man from England by the name of Michael Schonborn, he said, I'll help you, and we set up a radio station here in our studios in Austin, Texas, and 24 hours a day here on BPN Radio, we are praying, and we have different types of prayers. We have different types of people, different individuals that come and help us. But we are praying, and we are seeking the face of God. I want us to pray right now for men, for the men of this nation. You know, if there's anything that Satan desires to destroy, and that is the family, first of all, the family. And he tries to minimize the role of the father. And many children today are being born in the home without a father. And they call it the new norm in America, but it's not the new norm. And God intended for a man and a woman to be married and to produce children. And for there to be a father in the home that would be the disciplinarian, that would bring correction, that would love his wife and train his children in the way they should go. And so we know that Satan has come against the family. And so many young men and young ladies are growing up in a home without the love of a father, without a father at all. You know, several days ago I had one of my spiritual sons, Evander Holyfield, four-time heavyweight boxing champion of the world, and he said, I never knew who my father was until I was 20 years old. And it was pretty sad when I went and helped preach his dad's funeral in Alabama, to think that all of those years didn't even know who his dad was. And we have that story, that scenario being repeated time after time after time here in America. And for us to think that that is not normal, ires, irks the liberal media and those that are bent on the destruction of malehood, manhood, and the family. And so we know that in America, there are over 300 million people, and there's 151 million males. And we know that the male population has grown at a slightly faster rate than the female population. But when you have 151 million males, I'm not sure how many of those are married, but 38 million have already subscribed to the Ashley Madison website in order to have an affair. We call it an affair, commit adultery. And so when you take 38 million just in that one, and out of 151 million males, and some of those, of course, have not grown up into puberty or adulthood, we know that we have there's a tremendous war going on, tremendous war, and that is to destroy the fatherhood, to destroy all father images, and to take down the father image in this nation. And so I want to pray right now. I want us to intercede, first of all, for every husband and every father. We intercede right now for the male population. We know that the Bible says in the last days there would be seducing spirits. And I believe it's high time that every wife begins to watch for her husband. Watch for her husband. Pray for her husband when he goes out the door in the morning, because there's seducing spirits everywhere that is out to seduce, that seduce men, to break up their marriages, to bring shame and disgrace. And we are in a major warfare, whether we realize it, recognize it, or not. And so we pray for the men of this nation. I pray for young men. I pray for young men that's reaching puberty, and already they're under major siege. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every man who has declared, I'm not going to get married because I've seen it not work, and I don't want to take the risk, or I don't want the responsibility, dashing the hopes of millions of young ladies across America of having a husband. I pray in Jesus' name that we'll return to the normal Christian marriage, the norm in marriage in this nation, what God created us to be. And that's where a man prays for a godly wife, or prays for a wife, and he finds the woman of his dreams. And it's not just a physical attraction. It's not just a sexual attraction. It's not something we're going to try out to see if it works sexually before we tie the knot, or before we say I do's. And we say that, those words, so flippantly. God help us today. I pray in Jesus' name that young men will declare that I'm going to have a wife, and I'm going to have a family. I'm going to be a good husband, and I'm going to make some young lady's dream come true. And I'm going to take my family to church. We're going to serve the Lord. So, Father, I pray for the men of this nation, men that know you and men that don't know you, and the incredible attack of the enemy that is upon our land, upon every male, in Jesus' name. And seducing spirits that are running rampant to seduce men that are married into adultery, or to having an affair, as so many people call it. And men that are divorcing their wives and leaving with another woman, not marrying them, but just leaving with them. Lord, we are a nation in jeopardy. Help us, I pray. I pray for the family. I pray for all the men today that are listening to this broadcast. And I pray for the women, for the wives in particular, that you'll watch for your husband. Now, I'm not talking about a spirit of jealousy, but I'm talking about watching for him and praying for him and loving him and declaring that I'm going to have a strong marriage in Jesus' name, and saying to other women, the old Loretta Lynn song, you ain't woman enough to take my man. In Jesus' name. I don't mean to try to be flippant today. I'm just telling you, women need to fight for their husbands and declare in Jesus' name that Satan will not destroy your marriage and that your children will have a father in the home who will love your children, who will love you and your children. Y'all can have a godly home. See your children grow up and have wonderful grandchildren. I proclaim it, declare it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, okay. Okay. We prayed today, and I believe that we have made progress. And I'm praying today that all of us will be alert. To be alert. Be on guard with our lives and with what we do and where we go and what we say and what we hear and what we see and who we associate with. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And only by the grace of God, only by the mercies of God, are we able to continue to live this life. We're thankful for the abundant grace of God. And we're so thankful today. So we do not sit in judgment of anyone today, because any of us are capable at any moment, any time, falling from grace. So what do? We pray and we ask God to help us. And I'm asking God to help each of us today to be able to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. And I thank you for praying with me today as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.